Wisconsin's educational outcome gap between black and white students is one of the largest in the nation. According to some recent research, one thing that contributes to that problem is the lack of racial and ethnic diversity in the state's teacher workforce. While student diversity has grown, Wisconsin's teachers have been 95% white for the last decade. We're talking about a new Wisconsin Policy Forum report on the lack of diversity among Wisconsin teachers and educational inequality in the state as a whole. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a teacher or student of color in Wisconsin? Did you grow up going to Wisconsin schools? What has your experience been like? For anyone who's going to a school, just graduated, a parent, a staff at school, do you see efforts in your district to try to recruit a more diverse teaching workforce? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. James Causey is an editorial writer for the Ideas Lab of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. James, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, you reviewed this Wisconsin Policy Forum report and did some reporting on this, of course, on the side. Looking at these reports from the Policy Forum, first of all, what do the numbers show us about diversity or lack of diversity in our teacher workforce?
Well, the numbers were not really surprising to me. It really shows a lack of diversity. I mean, roughly in the state, 95% of the teachers are white compared to other races. And, you know, when you look at it, you know, students of color are not seeing themselves or not being taught by people who look like them. And that's a major problem, because we know that studies show that when a student of color, especially a black student, has a black teacher, it increases their graduation rate and also increases the chance for them going on to college.
Can you talk a little more about why it's important for students to see teachers who look like them? Because I think some people listening might say, hey, a teacher is a teacher. They're a good teacher. This shouldn't matter. What would you say to that?
Well, if you think about it, if 95% of the teachers are white and for white students, that works out fine. But I think when we talk about teachers of color, especially black teachers, black male teachers, most of us don't ever have a black male teacher. And we live in a nation where we need to see people of all kinds. I mean, we just function better. And not one thing that a black teacher provides for a school and for a classroom is not just an increase in academics for a black student, increases academics for white students as well. So, I mean, when we think about all the things that we could do to boost education, you know, we're always changing reading programs and things like that, and we get a little bit of a jump or a bump. Why not go to something that research has proven that works, and that's having more teachers of color, because it helps you to see someone who looks like you teaching.
Talking to James Causey with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Ideas Lab, looking at diversity and lack of diversity in Wisconsin's teacher workforce. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your own experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. James, in your reporting on this, you focus in on a black man who teaches in Milwaukee, and his story illustrates a lot of the obstacles that schools have in finding black teachers, black potential teachers have in becoming teachers. Can you tell us a little bit about Jarvis Ragland?
Yeah, Jarvis Ragland is a type of teacher that I think districts all across the state should really be trying to find. He was a guy who got into teaching really late. He's 30 years old now. His mother was a teacher, a longtime teacher, and he never really thought about going into the profession until his mother encouraged him to become a paraprofessional, someone who works inside of a classroom under a teacher. After spending time doing that, he said, yeah, you know, I think this is something I'd like to give a try to. So his first full year of teaching, he experienced it all. He was given students who had a lot of behavioral problems. It was like 6 to 8 students in his class, but he had to deal with these kids, and most of them were black boys at the school. And, you know, he struggled at first really trying to gain their confidence. You know, he had some good days and bad days. And then next thing you know, they transferred him to a different school because of politics. They had to reduce the they didn't have enough students in the behavioral classes, so they had to reduce the class, and he had the least seniority, so they moved him over to a different school. So right after he started to get this really good bond with these students, where they started to trust him and refer to him as their big brother, he was transferred to a different school. Right after that happened, the pandemic hit, right? So now he's dealing with the pandemic, but and he's trying to acclimate himself to this new school. And so he's working with these new students. But at the same time, he didn't want to give up on the students that he developed this bond with. So he maintained a relationship with those kids, calling them, checking in on them, checking in on their parents as well. And that's something that going above and beyond is something that we really want our teachers to do. And he did all of that, and he succeeded at that.
Can you talk about some of the points along the pipeline from being that high school student yourself to becoming a teacher that a lot of Black potential teachers face that may lead them out of the profession?
Yeah, so basically what we have is a pipeline problem. You know, when you think about how many people could actually go into the teaching business, if we really want to get more teachers of color, it's just really a pipeline problem. From graduation to going to college to those students in college choosing teaching as a profession to those people potentially staying in the state and teaching. Every single time that number drops tremendously. So by the time we get to teachers who could actually teach, who are teachers of color, it's like 6% that could actually go into the classroom. And then we have this other problem that comes up. Most of the teachers who start teaching, we lose half of them by the time, you know, within the first 3 or 4 years. So it's like starting all over and you're starting with a smaller and smaller pool. So what we have to start doing is finding ways to get more kids into the pipeline in the first place and then keeping them in the pipeline. So a lot of that comes with making sure that they have good mentors when they're in college. And when they decide to go into teaching. So we have to provide them and surround them with the services that they need so they don't leave the profession, because it really takes roughly like 3 or 4 years for a teacher to really get their bearings and really become really solid teachers. And so it's steps along the way that where we have to really work to do that. And talking up the teaching profession is one of them. I mean, it starts with, you know, talking about how great teachers are. You know, I mean, we've all had good and bad teachers, right? So, but we all had those good and bad experiences. But the best teachers we had, most of us developed lifelong relationships with those teachers. We still remember them. So it's important for the teaching profession to really highlight those great teachers as well.
In your piece, you share the story of a couple teachers you worked with as a student yourself. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, you know, I was educated in Milwaukee public schools, K through 12. I went to Marquette University for 4.5 years and graduated. And I went to graduate school to get my MBA at Cardinal Stritch for 2.5 years. And then all that time, I only had one Black male teacher and one Black female teacher. That's a lot of education in the state or in the city in not coming across Black teachers. But I still remember the two teachers I had. Miss Reed was my fourth grade teacher. She lived in the neighborhood. She sort of reminded me a lot of my mother. She would, if I disappointed her, she would stop over at the house and have a conversation with me and my parents. And my next Black teacher was Mr. Jackson, and I didn't have him until Spanish in 10th grade. Had I not taken Spanish, I would have never had a Black male teacher. That says a lot. That tells you all you need to know. And a lot of people that I talk to who I work with, they never had any Black male teachers. Very few even had Black female teachers. And I think when you think about that and you think about how we know that diversity really matters and it really plays an important role, if you don't have that foundation of actually seeing someone in a classroom teaching who's a person of color, that says a lot about how you probably think about the teaching profession.
We're picking up our talk with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel columnist James Causey with the Ideas Lab there about the lack of diversity in Wisconsin's teacher workforce. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do things look like in schools in your community? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's go to your calls now. Matt is with us in Iowa County. Matt, hi.
Hi. I grew up in Janesville, Wisconsin, and through my regular education, I had one African-American teacher who was an industrial arts teacher in eighth grade, and he was one of the best teachers I ever had. And I always wish we had...
Oh, Matt, your call is coming in and out. Thanks, Matt, sharing the experience of having at least exactly, it sounds like, one black teacher along the way. And Matt passed along to our producer before we get on. He wants to see government school districts prioritize this and address the pipeline problems. James, a couple thoughts. Are there any experiments out there that are showing promise? People have been talking about this for a while now.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of things that a lot of people don't view it as a serious problem, but it really is. So, you know, a couple of things that the Wisconsin Policy Forum put out there is, you know, first, they believe that there should be maybe some financial incentives and assistance for teachers of color, like maybe scholarships and loan forgiveness. That could be a way to keep people in the pipeline if they know that if they stay in the teaching field that their loans would be forgiven. You know, maybe provide a higher salary for teachers of color who teach in high poverty districts, in high poverty classrooms. That should also help as well. And then, you know, one thing that they could start doing is looking for mentors and really making sure that mentors work with the teachers from the very beginning and not wait until they develop problems. Because usually by the time a teacher of color has problems with a school, it's too late. So really making sure that they have mentors from the very beginning is important. But one thing I want to stress, I'm not saying, and the Wisconsin Policy Forum is not saying that white teachers are bad. And I don't want that to come across like that. What they're saying is that we could do a better job. And there are studies out there that prove that teachers of color provide something that our students, all of our students, are not getting right now.
Thanks for that call. Sorry we lost your connection there. Let's go to David now in Gurnee, Illinois. David, hello.
Hi, thank you. You know, I think of teaching like coaching. So I was thinking like NBA, NFL, where they're predominantly black athletes and predominantly white coaches slash teachers. And in that case, I feel like white coaches are successful. So I guess I'm not quite following the need for same color teachers. If, you know, if a student works hard, the one that works harder, I think would do better than their peers that maybe don't work as hard. So I don't quite understand that.
David, thanks for the call. What do you think of the analogy, James, between, a pro sports team and the classroom?
Well, let me explain it in a different way. One thing that makes Jarvis Ragland so different than other teachers that he worked with is that he comes from the same neighborhood that a lot of his students come from. So there's not this learning curve as to dealing with kids' trauma. Like if a kid sees something or sees something violent or experience something bad in his neighborhood, Jarvis kind of knows about it because he's from this area as well. So he's experienced a lot of the pain and traumas that these kids have experienced, and he's able to really truly understand that better than a teacher who probably doesn't live in the district anymore. And that's another issue that we could talk about. A lot of our teachers are not, they may be Milwaukee Public School teachers, but they live outside of Milwaukee now. So it's hard for them to actually understand because they're not living in the area that they're closest to. So Jarvis doesn't have that learning curve because he's experiencing what the kids have experienced, and he's able to help them identify with that and understand it. And honestly, if we really want to be real and talking about this, I'm in a lot of white spaces, right? As a reporter, where I go to events, and usually I'm the only one there. I'm one of a few black reporters that's actually in the newsroom and newsrooms across this country. And one thing that I know I do, I tend to gravitate to people who kind of look like me. There's studies out that talks about how, you know, people of color tend to gravitate to people who look like them, especially when they're in spaces like that. So is when it comes to young people and people of color, especially black boys, our black boys need to see people who look like them doing this job. And it's a recruiting tool as well. If I had like Mr. Jackson, seeing Mr. Jackson as a teacher, that's something great for me to see as a Black man, seeing another Black man teaching Spanish that I even considered teaching at one time. So I think that's also a recruiting tool, and that could also help get more kids and keep more people of color in the pipeline as well.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to James Causey from the Idea Lab at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at a lack of diversity in Wisconsin's teachers' workforce, why it matters, and some possible solutions. James, one thing you point out in your reporting that I hadn't thought of before is sometimes that Black teacher, especially the Black man who's a teacher, like Jarvis Ragland we were talking about earlier, they get extra work because people say, hey, maybe this is the person who can deal with these students who are having trouble. Even if they're not in his class or they're not part of his assignment to deal with, maybe they can help. So it's well-meaning, but it's an extra workload on those teachers.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of those things that's not written on the when you sign up for the job, it's not stated on the job, but you take on that extra responsibility. And a lot of teachers of color take on that extra responsibility. So, you know, I had a chance to see it in person. You know, I spent a couple of days with Jarvis in school, and I saw how the other students looked up to him and how the students of color actually looked up to him and tried to model his behavior from the way he walked, from the way he carried himself, because he carried himself very professional, you know, from the way he talked and those kind of things. They tried to emulate that and be like that because they really respected him. And it's power in seeing people who look like you do the job. And it may be anecdotal, but it's very powerful to see it. So yeah, one thing that teachers of color often run into, especially when they're Black males, is they have to be the disciplinarian most of the time because, you know, let's face it, a male's voice sounds different than a female's voice, especially when it comes to that discipline. And so when these boys hear that, and some of them don't have their fathers in their homes with them, they listen to it a lot more than they do if it was a white woman saying something like that to them. And it's power in that. But should Jarvis, because he's a Black male, have these added responsibilities? I mean, it's a lot of work. I think he's doing, you know, when he got transferred to a different school, a lot of teachers would have just said, well, those are other kids' students now. But he didn't do that because he felt this extra responsibility to maintain his connection with his former students.
You mentioned the difficulties sometimes of having teachers from outside the community they're working in. And I think you briefly touched on this earlier, and I know you wrote about it. Could you talk about the idea of you're starting in high school and saying, okay, can we start recruiting these future teachers in our high school, in our community, with the hopes that they end up teaching back here in their, you know, welcome back Cotter. They come back to the school, the same old school that they came out of.
Yeah, just imagine how great that would be. And I've actually come across teachers in my years of reporting who are, they're working in the schools that they graduated from. You know, I went to Samuel Clemens Elementary School, which is right down the street from me. And there are several teachers of color who teach there, who graduated from there. So you don't think there's power in that, and they still live in the neighborhood? It's some power in that. They get to see the students that they teach in the neighborhood, and the students get to see them, the parents get to see them. It's some power in that. I just think that, you know, just like with the police department, when police officers tend to start leaving neighborhoods because they don't have to live here, they could live in Mequon or Whitefish Bay or outside of Milwaukee and still come in to police, I think you lose something. I think you lose that value of, like, I'm a part of this community. Some people will argue against that, but it's something to be said for being closer to an issue or a problem than being further away from it. And I tend to agree that the closer you are to something, the better that you can address it.
Do you see progress being made, James? I know we've been having similar conversations about outcome gaps over the years for a long time now.
Do I see progress? Not really. I think what we're seeing, like what school districts tend to do, they cannibalize each other. You know, a Black teacher may leave one Black school and go to another, but they're not doing a better job at really getting more teachers into the pipeline. And that's where the state comes in. The state needs to find a way to think outside the box when it comes to teaching. You know, one thing that we know is when it comes to the reading test and that part, for teachers, black teachers don't do as well. And it's some reasons behind that. And I'm not exactly sure, they're still studying that. But what we're finding is that even though black teachers may do worse on the reading and math part to become teachers, it doesn't affect how they teach and their effectiveness in the classroom. So maybe one thing we could do is waive some of those tests, because they do it for special education. So maybe they should do it for regular teachers. Another thing, like I said, they really come up with ways to make sure that teachers want to stay in a profession. So mentorship is important, as well as loan forgiveness. You know, we've seen a lot of this happen when nurses were during the pandemic, when they waived some student loans for nurses and people like that going into the profession. We have a crisis right now where we have to get more teachers of color into the pipeline. So I think everything should be on the table, from loan forgiveness to mentorship to even recruiting people who are like Jarvis, who didn't pick teaching as a profession at first, and looking for people who may consider it as a secondary part of their education.
James, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
Hey, thank you. Take care.
That's James Causey, editorial writer for the Ideas Lab of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joined us for a look at the lack of diversity in Wisconsin's teacher workforce, the problems that can cause, and some possible solutions.